So this is our last Sunday in 2024. Next Sunday will be our first in 2025. So since the new year is always a good time for new beginnings and refocusing, I thought I'd take these two Sundays as kind of bookends around the new year to consider some ways we can be intentional this year about growing in our faith and our relationship with God. And today I want to talk specifically about discipline. Right, discipline, such a fun topic. We're going to begin by turning to Hebrews chapter 12 and read something there about how God views discipline. So if you'd like to follow along, you can grab a Bible and open up to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. We're going to start right in the beginning of the chapter. And I'm going to take this in little chunks and we'll talk about it a little bit as we go. So verse 1 begins, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I'm going to just pause there. So the writer of Hebrews begins with talking about this cloud of witnesses. In the chapter 11, he listed out several, you might call them heroes of the faith, prominent people of the Old Testament who endured hardship or waited patiently on the Lord and walked by faith in spite of their circumstances that could have pushed them into giving up on God. One that always stands out to me is Abraham, who was promised by God that he would be the father of a great nation. And he believed the Lord in that. He stumbled along the way, but he believed, and it was credited to him as faith that he believed in the Lord, even though he never saw the fulfillment of that promise. Or Moses was called to lead the people from Israel, and he endured the hardships of the desert, and he never saw the promised land himself, but the Lord was faithful, and Moses endured faithfully. And so since we have that cloud of witnesses watching us as we run this race, we're encouraged to set aside everything that holds us back, to run with endurance, to pursue the Lord with all the endurance that we need. We're encouraged to live like them and throw off anything that holds us back from fully living out what God wants for us. And he encourages us to keep looking at Jesus, not at the world and all that it offers, not to all the people who influence us or judge us or praise us or all those other people that we listen to, but rather keep looking at Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one to live for and the one to please, the one to keep running the race for. And as we look ahead into a new year, we want to keep that in mind, that we want to live for him. Let's go ahead and keep reading. Verse 3. "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." There's a challenge here for us when we're tempted to give up on our struggles against sin or struggles to continue following the Lord, to continue and recognize that it is the Lord who's disciplining us. Sometimes it might be hard to keep going. You start to wonder, is it okay if I give up now? I've been persevering for so long. Can I finally just give up trying? Can I give up on trusting what the Lord is going to do? And the author of Hebrews is saying here, look, you haven't shed blood yet, right? It's not time to give up. Continue, because the Lord is doing something good in your life. He is disciplining you. The Lord disciplines those he loves. And that is a foundational passage I want to build on today. The Lord disciplines those that he loves. He is allowing or causing some of the things that happen in your life to build something into you. And that's an idea I think we need to dig in a little bit more to today, because I don't know how much it is for everyone else, but I know for me, when I first think about discipline, at least in years past, discipline was always a negative concept. And the idea of the Lord disciplining me meant he was going to punish me. And I've talked to a lot of people who expect that if they're going to do something wrong, that God is just going to make their life difficult, because that's what discipline is. But honestly, those are unhealthy and unhelpful ideas about discipline that come from our experiences with people who don't understand what healthy discipline looks like. A healthy and godly type of discipline is not one that simply punishes you for certain behaviors. The goal of healthy discipline is not to make you hurt or to knock you down or to put you in your place, as we so often experience in our world. Healthy discipline does not come from a place of anger or control. I've seen so many examples in the world of people just getting angry and upset, and therefore I'm going to take it out on those who are not following my will and my way. And that's what discipline is modeled for us. Godly discipline does not just say, you've messed up, you've ruined my plans, or did something like I don't like, so I'm going to make you pay. That's what worldly discipline so often teaches us. And this unhealthy type of discipline is all centered on how the person giving the discipline feels, or what they want and what they're upset about. It's a very self-centered reaction to not getting your way, basically. And that's not what a healthy discipline looks like. Godly discipline is focused on what's best for the one receiving the discipline. What's best for them to learn from the situation? How do they grow from this? How can they learn to live a fuller and more prosperous life and even develop discipline into their life that allows them to make their own decisions in a healthy way? Discipline is meant to be a benefit for the one receiving it. Consider what Proverbs 22, verse 6 says. Let's turn to that for a moment. Proverbs 22, 6. It's a classic proverb that's used in all kinds of parenting teaching. Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And even as I read that now, I'm reminded of there's a good definition of discipline built into this. You discipline a child in the way they should go. You try to teach them the way to live that is a benefit to them. And as you do that, you're training them to live in certain ways that will benefit them later in life. They will not depart from those ways. They will continue in those practices, right? We develop self-discipline in our lives as you continue to grow and mature. When a child is born, they come into this world needing to learn a lot about life. Right? There isn't much they know about this world. And it's up to the parent, primarily, to start training them up, to develop discipline in their lives. There's other family members that come around, even church family. Eventually, there's going to be other teachers and authorities who come along to help guide them. And all these people are there to discipline and provide discipline for that child, to teach them in the way they should go. But there's a key question in there. What is the way a child should go? And going back to some of those unhealthy concepts of discipline, there's a lot of discipline that's done in our world that's based on training a child up in the way they should go, centered on what I want for them. Should I raise my children to do what I want, to live the way I think they should live, to follow the path I think they should have for them? There's a lot of problems with that, right? I don't know what God has planned for my children. To train a child up in the way they should go, it means to understand that God has a plan for them that he's probably not going to reveal fully to you as a parent. And it's up to you as a parent to help build discipline into their lives so that they can discern what God wants for them and follow his path. I hear a lot today when it comes to parenting that says how difficult parenting is. And a lot of that focus on the difficulty of parenting is how it affects the life of the parents. It makes makes things hard for the parents. It takes away their freedoms. It hinders you from being the person you want to be, right? That kind of parenting concept is, again, focused on here's what I want out of life, and my child is just in my way. And so I'm going to discipline them out of that, or I'm going to train them out of what I want. And that leads to a lot of unhealthy relationships and a lot of unhealthy discipline. And I'm sure we can all look back at our own lives, those of us who have grown up now, and see that we were not always disciplined in proper ways, and maybe we developed bad habits. And as you became a parent yourself, you had to learn to discipline them in new ways, to train them up in new ways. And continue to try to do what's healthy for our parents, or for our children. But parenting, yes, is a challenge. Anything worthwhile truly is. And I think it's important to understand there's such a great joy and a privilege in being given responsibility to train up and encourage a child in the way that the Lord wants them to go. One of the greatest joys in my life has been seeing my own sons grow up to be kind and productive and compassionate and considerate young men, pursuing dreams and passions that God has placed on their hearts that we didn't know. Right? God didn't give us a book when they were born and say, here's my plan for them, right? It's been up to us as parents to discipline, and provide discipline so that they could learn what the Lord wants from them and pursue that themselves. And it's even been fun for us to learn from them as they have developed their own discipline and learned things that we didn't know when we were young and we didn't know when we were parenting them, to now say, oh, I see some new ways to live because of what God has taught our sons. All of these things, I could go on for a while just talking about different aspects of discipline that we can learn from parenting. The point here is that discipline is meant to be a productive action. It's meant to help people grow. It's meant to help them learn the habits in their life so that they can be self-disciplined themselves and stay on track. I think of examples of parenting, of all the hazards that a child can experience in life. They can burn themselves. They can electrocute themselves. They can walk out into a busy road. And what do we do as parents? We give them rules to follow, right? Don't stick a fork in the outlets, right? Don't bring metal around the electricity. We teach them how to safely handle fire. We tell them to do what before they cross the road? Look both ways, right? And what happens when they don't follow those things? They get a spanking, right? But is that there might be some kind of consequence, right? But it's because we don't want them to suffer the consequence of getting hit by a car. We do that to train them. Hey, this is not a good thing for you. Not because I'm angry with you, not because you've disappointed me or disobeyed my rules, but there's a lesson you need to learn here. You could get hurt. That's what discipline is meant for. There are negative consequences that come, but those negative consequences are meant to teach you to get back on track, right? And then as you pay attention to that training throughout the rest of your life, what do? You look both ways before you cross the street. You develop the self-discipline yourself. As I've been thinking about this message, I think about how many unconscious habits do I have in my life that were taught to me early on, that I just do automatically. That's discipline that's been built into me to make sure that I live a healthy and productive and successful life. Life is a journey. We're traveling down a road that God has placed in front of us. And if you live an undisciplined life, you're going to wander off the path constantly and run into all kinds of hazards. That's what living and following our sinful tendencies does to us. We fall into the pitfalls of sin. We wander off God's path and we end up experiencing the consequences of that sin. Strained relationships, distrust, loss of integrity. We do physical and emotional damage to ourselves and others. All the things that come in from making those sinful choices. Then we end up in those pitfalls again, and God has to discipline us, either allowing the consequences or giving us some other discipline to bring us back onto the path. That's why the Lord disciplines you. And that's why we might experience the same kind of consequence year after year after year as we continue to make the choices that we make that take us off the path until we finally recognize, oh, this is something I'm doing. This is something the Lord doesn't want me to do. I need to get back on track. I need to develop the discipline in my life to stay on the path. Now, discipline isn't always about negative consequences for our actions. Sometimes discipline is about teaching positive habits before, in order to help you grow. I think about teaching your child to read, right? You teach them this basic habit, read things so that you can learn, right? And that's something you, a discipline you can develop into your life, is to make a habit of reading. Or teaching them how to be kind and generous people. We teach them the value of knowing and loving and serving Jesus. We teach them the value, these habits of reaching out to others, making a difference in the world. Those are not consequences of negative actions. Those are just positive disciplines that we build into their lives. In the same way, God wants to build positive discipline into our lives. You might think of a variety of spiritual disciplines that we talk about in the church, things like regular Bible reading, just building the habit of getting into God's word and reading what it says, reminding ourselves of who he is and who we are, the habit of scripture memory, memorizing those passages that mean something significant to you that you can always go back to because they're in your heart and your mind. The habit of daily prayer. There's all kinds of various prayer practices that you can put into place and build a discipline into your life that you're constantly in prayer. The practice of regular worship attendance, the practice of fasting, practice of times of solitude that you can combine with prayer and journaling and meditating on the Bible. These are all positive disciplines the Lord may want to build into your life. They're not limited to these kinds of things, though it might be a habit you develop of connecting with other people. You're going to build more fellowship into your life just by making that a habit that I'm going to reach out to people on a regular basis and connect with him. The habit of serving the Lord. I'm going to find a way to use my gifts to do something beneficial for the Lord's work in this world. You can probably think of other types of discipline you can build into your life that way that allow you not just to stay on the path, but to be more productive and more successful as you live with the Lord. There are lots of positive disciplines the Lord wants to build into your life. And so my goal today is to give us some different perspective on the Lord's discipline. God is not out to harm you. He's not out to just punish you. He's not angry and looking to take you down to make sure that you do his will. No, the Lord has a plan for you. When you were born, he laid out a path for you to follow, one that will benefit you, one that will give you success in life. And no matter how young or old you are, it's never too late to step back onto that path and train yourself to remain on that path and be more productive on that path. If you wander off that path repeatedly, you will experience some of the Lord's discipline. The goal is to get you back on the path so that you can benefit from growing in him. And as you're walking that path, the Lord wants to develop habits into your life so that you can be more successful, that you can walk closer to him, that you can understand who he is and what he wants for you in new ways. As we look ahead to the next year, to the year 2025, I want to ask you to take some time and consider where you are in life today. Are there some negative consequences that you've been experiencing again and again? Some things that have been missing in your life? Maybe you've been experiencing guilt and shame. Maybe some hardship that continues to come up that's rooted in choices that you're making. And consider perhaps that there's some discipline that God is doing in your life. And maybe this is the year that you take a good look at that and you turn your eyes to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to make a change here. I want to respond to your discipline and learn how to control myself, to stay on the path better. Let that be your focus for the year. Rather than picking one of those resolutions, right, that we all tend to fail, those goals that are way out there, give yourself something that the Lord is already working on in your life, something that you know will benefit you, and say, that's going to be my focus this year. I'm going to respond to the Lord's discipline. Or is there a new habit that you can develop? One of those spiritual disciplines, one of those ways that you can intentionally focus on doing something positive that will allow you to grow in your faith in a new way. Something that will allow you to know the Lord better, something that will bring you into community with other believers better, something that will allow you to exercise your skills in a way that benefits the Lord's work in this world. Is there a positive discipline that you can develop in your life this year? Don't try to do them all. Pick one and let that be your focus this year. Commit to it and say, and set for yourself a reasonable level of self-discipline that you can put into practice. Recognize that you're going to fall short. It's not the time to give up, but rather remind yourself to persevere. Going back to Hebrews 12 again, to never give up, to throw off all the things that hold you back, to fix your eyes on Jesus and continue to run the race with perseverance. Because this life that the Lord has for you matters immensely. God wants you to be prosperous and successful. It takes building discipline into your life to remain on that path and pursue all he wants for you. What for you is the discipline that you're going to develop this year? Give yourself a goal to identify something within the next week that you are going to work on. And let the Lord discipline you this year. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord for his discipline and the work that he does in our lives. Lord God, we do thank you that you care about our lives. And I thank you especially that it does not matter where we are today, but you can start with us right here and right now. And I pray that you would just prompt each one of us with what it is that you want to do in our lives. What is the change that you want to make? What is the way that you are trying to grow us, to help us to know you more and to serve you better, Lord, to experience that fullness of life that you desire for us? And pray that you speak to each and every person here, and even to those who aren't here with us today, Lord, that you would prompt them to pursue you in a new way and to develop the discipline that we need to stay on your path. I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.